This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Evacuees, elected officials, and editorialists all praise the government's preparedness for and its response to the wildfires that erupted in so many places in Southern California. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has toured the areas hit hardest. President Bush joins him today. All levels of government promise help. And it's impossible not to draw comparisons to Hurricane Katrina. In sharp contrast to the squalor of the Superdome in New Orleans, the Los Angeles Times describes Qualcomm Stadium as a relief center to behold. Evacuees are being served Starbucks coffee and Caesar salads. There are cots and blankets and diapers, live music, massages, and acupuncture. Why are things going better this time around? Later in the hour, Flint Leverett, a former National Security Council advisor on the Middle East, will join us to talk about his fear of a new war in Iran. But first, the Katrina comparison. What's different? What's the same? Have at least some lessons been learned? Our number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. On our blog yesterday, Ronnie Frierson wrote that while his heart goes out to the people of San Diego and Malibu, he wonders, will San Diego and Malibu rebuild before New Orleans? Will the people displaced by the California firestorm live in trailers for 2 years before they return home? If not, he said, what's wrong with this picture? Joining us now is Karen Breslau. Karen's Newsweek's San Francisco bureau chief and joins us from the studios of member station KQED in San Francisco. Karen, great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much, Neil.
And in a piece you wrote, you suggested that at least one difference is the quality of leadership this time around.
Absolutely. You know, one of the enduring images in the aftermath of Katrina, aside just from the human misery and the loss of life, was that there was no government. We had a sense of anarchy. It was completely unclear who was in charge. It took nearly a week for the federal government to respond. We had Mayor Nagin yelling from a radio studio for help. We had Governor Blanco staring into a TV camera asking people to pray. There was utter confusion. And in this case, Schwarzenegger emerged really within hours as the definitive leader of this crisis and worked very quickly and I think effectively to coordinate government at all levels, you know, starting with the very, you know, local medical evacuation all the way up to the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And there was never a question, is anybody in charge or who's in charge?
You describe, in fact, one scene where he goes down to a local racetrack that's been taken over as a major center, working specifically to arrange the evacuation of medical patients.
That's right. This was the Del Mar Fairgrounds outside of San Diego, and all of several hundred nursing home patients had been evacuated to this facility. There were Navy personnel on hand, all sorts of medical corps people there, everybody tending the patients. Schwarzenegger flew in rather unexpected on his helicopter, saw that there were all these gurneys, wanted to know where the people were going. He wasn't completely confident that there were beds for all these people. He picked up the phone. His chief of staff picked up the phone. They started calling admirals, generals, hospital administrators, and he stayed there for 2 hours in the middle of the night and wouldn't leave until he was confident that these, I think it was 288 patients, had beds to go to. He then called from the air to make sure the dialysis patients had been moved first, and then flew back twice during the night, you know, somewhat to the amazement of the on-ground commanders, to make sure that the evacuation was proceeding. So follow-through was a crucial lesson learned from Katrina when, you know, orders were given and evaporated into thin air.
Mm-hmm.
There's been follow-through at pretty much every level.
And preemptive action. Now, you describe that the governor of California learned a great lesson when he started to inquire about some of the levees and dams in California in the wake of Hurricane Katrina and learned some lessons about government bureaucracy.
That's right. He wanted funding. These levees were as endangered, if not more endangered, than the New Orleans levees. They had received an abysmal ranking from the Army Corps of Engineers. And he quickly found himself tangled up in all sorts of red tape in terms of, you know, whether the Congress or the administration, who's going to pay for these things, how do we get the money, and drew a lesson there that if you want help from the government, ask now, years before you need it. In this case, he asked several hours before it became apparent the scale of the disaster. He was concerned enough about the Malibu fires north of L.A. on Monday to call the president and ask for military assistance, even though he didn't know if he would need the ask. And it turned out to be necessary, and it came through. So that was obviously a critical lesson learned. And also Schwarzenegger, in the days after the recall election, before he took office, got a trial by fire. There were severe wildfires in San Diego in 2003, and he saw firsthand what is required in a massive wildfire
and
situation.
Of course, there are some obvious and major differences between Southern California and particularly the city of New Orleans. Also, of course,
absolutely.
We can't forget the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Was very hard hit by Katrina as well.
Absolutely.
And you also point out in your piece that these are early days. Inevitably, mistakes will have been made that we will find out about later.
Mistakes will have been made. Finger pointing will start. Tempers will fray. There are sure to be foul ups. We're looking at multi-billion-dollar reconstruction. And obviously, one of the main differences is that most of the a large percentage of the people affected here are either middle class or better, who own homes, who have insurance, who have transportation, who could get themselves to safety and are certainly better equipped to deal with the inevitable insurance nightmares ahead. So that's one huge difference. We are in the early days, but in terms of response, there simply is no comparison.
Mm-hmm. Also, that these are relatively thinly populated suburban type areas for the most part, not a dense city like New Orleans.
True. And again, I think the real key is, one, many of these, the millions affected in California had transportation. I have family in that area, and they received warnings hours before they were expected to evacuate. People have vehicles. There is a vast road network. In New Orleans, you had people literally trapped in a bowl, mm-hmm. drowning.
And obviously, some things did work in New Orleans. The contraflow system did get a lot of people out of that city, opening the highways to get everybody out as opposed to keeping them one way. Similarly,
right.
A technological development in Southern California, reverse 911.
Absolutely. They can put out – this is a system that was implemented after the 2003 fires, which allow the local authorities to put out – I think it's 400,000 calls an hour based on geography and to say there is a wildfire in your area, evacuate immediately, in compass direction X or Y. It makes a tremendous difference when you get a phone call to get out of your house. Mm-hmm. People don't always have – they're not always tuned to radio. They may be frantically scrambling after pets or diving under the bed for their shoes. You don't know what it is, but that phone ringing makes a huge difference.
Here's an email from Patricia in Santa Rosa, California. One big difference in support of evacuees in San Diego from Katrina is that the hurricane dislocated everyone, while many of the areas in Southern California were not touched except by smoke, and so first responders were able to respond quickly with help. The entire area was devastated after Katrina. They didn't seem to have local area people who were not affected by the catastrophe to provide immediate support.
I think those are very valid observations. And also don't forget that Southern California is home to massive military installations. So you have all sorts of personnel and equipment really within hours or minutes striking distance. In the case of this racetrack that Schwarzenegger visited, they were able to redeploy National Guard troops from the U.S.-Mexico border, and they had them there, within hours. And one of the agonizing images of Katrina, of course, was waiting for days, mm-hmm. watching the human misery, the death, the empty naval ship, bobbing offshore in the Gulf Coast, the fleets of marooned school buses that could have evacuated people if only somebody had thought to reposition the vehicles. There were so many failures at the local, at every government level that left these resources untappable, and that was not the case in Southern California.
See if we can get a caller involved. Our number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Right now we're talking with Karen Breslau, San Francisco Bureau Chief for Newsweek magazine. And Arolia, is that the right name?
Yeah, Aurelia.
In Portland, Oregon. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm from Southern California. I moved away from there 6 years ago. I've watched these fires burn year after year, and they grow increasingly worse because of development. But with that development, you also have a lot of money. That's the reason why there's so much development able to happen. And that's why it's being handled so well this time around. There's a lot of money being generated down in Southern California within the government and within the citizens. And that's why you have so many people who are able to volunteer their time because they can afford to. Mm-hmm. That's why people are so comfortable in the stadium. And that's why that didn't happen during Katrina. During Katrina, I mean, there's just not the same kind of money being produced down in New Orleans like there is in Southern California.
Tax revenues as well as, Karen Breslau, as you mentioned earlier, personal affluence.
Sure, but we should also shouldn't forget that the rampant growth, particularly in San Diego County, has left the firefighting resources stretched very thin. The interface between the population and what is really scrub country, very flammable, has just grown exponentially, and the firefighting resources have not kept up. And we're starting to see the complaints coming in now from Orange County, from parts of San Diego County, local officials who said, "I ordered these trucks, I ordered this this aircraft, didn't get it." There's just a lot more acreage and many more, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of real estate to protect.
Yes, and of course in New Orleans as well, fire stations, police stations, they were also inundated, and their resources were trapped. Whatever resources they had were unable
Absolutely.
To respond.
Absolutely, and communications wiped out.
Yes, indeed. All right, thanks very much, Aurelia. Good point.
Thank you.
We're Karen Breslau. Thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Neil.
Karen Breslau is the San Francisco Bureau Chief for Newsweek magazine and joined us today from State Member Station KQED in San Francisco. We're talking about what's different, what's the same between Katrina and the fires in Southern California. Many differences, of course, but the response this time has been much more rapid and much more effective. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The comparisons between Hurricane Katrina and the wildfires in California started almost as soon as evacuees settled into Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego. Today, we're discussing that comparison. What's different this time? What's the same? Have at least some lessons been learned? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can read what other listeners have to say on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And let's go to Patrick. Patrick's calling us also from Portland, Oregon.
Hi. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
I just want to say that I think a very important aspect of this may be the perception, regardless of the perception in the black community and the low-income communities, regardless of whether there are valid and legitimate reasons why there's such a disparity between how these disasters were addressed, that there's going to be a perception that there's inequity there. And I think that perception needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, just in order to keep the peace. I mean, this could become a huge just rallying point for all kinds of conflict. I mean, not that it shouldn't be discussed and that the real reasons shouldn't be brought to light, but at the same time, we need to, I think the media should address the perception openly, and I'm really glad you guys are doing it, but it doesn't seem like it's happening on a lot of other. At least this is the first I've heard of anybody address it. So
okay.
Thank you.
Patrick,
thanks. My response off the air.
Thanks very much, Patrick. And we'll get a response from our next guest, Chris Reynolds, who's with us from Member Station WUSF in Tampa, Florida, where he's a professor and program manager for emergency and disaster management at the American Military University. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Hello, Neil.
It's good.
A pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much. And I wonder that that perception of inequality, particularly, again, Southern California likely to have many more resources to rebuild than New Orleans has had.
Well, certainly, as the caller indicated, that is a perception. And I really don't think there's any way that you can, get around that necessarily. But I think it's important to realize that with respect to the wildfires in comparison to Hurricane Katrina, how far we've come. And I know that Karen, your previous guest, alluded to some of these things. And most important of which is a number of lessons learned from Hurricane Katrina and from the preparedness and from the planning aspects of it particularly, you know, from the enactment of local mutual aid agreements, from forward staging of materials and equipment. I mean, a lot of folks focus on New Orleans proper, but they forget about Alabama, and they forget about particularly, you know, the Gulf Coast that was to the east and west of New Orleans. All focuses on New Orleans. And one thing that we can remember is that, yes, there were failures in the Katrina response. However, there were also successes. And I think that oftentimes we tend to focus on the failures. Mm-hmm. Now, several reports and several congressional hearings were done regarding what could be done better, you know, the next time a Katrina-type disaster strikes. And certainly no one necessarily knew that the wildfires in California were going to come up. But, you know, it did show a stark contrast. And you can also contrast it as well back to Hurricane Andrew, when Kate Hale went on national television in the fledgling CNN, the brand new CNN news company, and said, "Where's the cavalry? Send us the cavalry." Mm-hmm. And it all rooted back to a misunderstanding of the role of the federal government in local and state disaster response, and that how the flow has to go. You know, oftentimes, a lot of emergency managers, particularly at the state level, or even more so at the local level, get locked into this thing called analysis paralysis, where the information flow is so intense, there's so much information coming in, that they just generally reach information overload. This is where the command teams are important. And again, talking about the disaster in California, you know, FEMA deployed their federal incident response team, you know, which is a management oversight.
You mentioned that nobody could foresee the fires. Well, nobody could foresee them this week, but certainly this is part of the ecology in Southern California. We knew fires were inevitable in California, maybe not this bad, maybe not this time, but after two wet winters when everything was allowed to grow, a fire on this, you know, was going to happen. Similarly, every newspaper, every magazine, every radio and television network had done predictions of an impending disaster when and if a hurricane hit New Orleans. We knew these things were coming.
You're absolutely right, Neil. They did know that. But again, let me go back and talk about a study or a group that was that came together back in the early 70s, and it was called the Fire Scope Study. And essentially what it did was it looked at the wildfires in the state of California, and it was essentially the birth of the California Division of Forestry, the CDF, or Cal Fire, they call it. And, you know, they organized themselves in a disaster state to strategically locate tools and equipment, personnel, stations, what have you, in anticipation of these fires. And one thing that Karen brought up that I think is really critical to talk about is the encroachment on the wildland-urban interface. You know, we're building right up against wildland, and we forget that topography, relative humidity, a number of factors play into what the fire danger is. I know that at Boise Interagency at the National Fire Center, they have fire behavioral analysts, and their only job is to essentially look and see what the fire hazard is, what the index is. Now, I live in Florida, and every year we have this thing called hurricane season in around the Gulf Coast. And it's the same in California. They have a fire season, and they prepare for that fire season. And talking about the leadership of Governor Schwarzenegger and the leadership particularly of Dave Paulison, who I might add is an emergency manager himself, 30 years or more as a fire chief in Dade County down in Miami.
He's the new head of FEMA.
Yes, he is the new head of FEMA. And here's a very important distinction to make is that when you have an emergency manager, when you have somebody who's done it for his or her life, they understand the significance of strong leadership. And that's one thing that Dave Paulison has done is he's shown that strong leadership, okay, just as Governor Schwarzenegger has.
Let's get some more callers in on the conversation. Julie's with us. Julie is calling us from New Orleans.
Yes, and I was here in New Orleans for 4 days during the storm, and there is definitely a difference in how the response is. The bottom line is that we simply didn't have a response. The communication breakdown was so great that even our own mayor was trapped in the city, and that everyone was sort of looking to each other, who Blanco is going to turn to Bush, and Bush turns to Blanco. And by no means are we in New Orleans taking away from how horrible this tragedy is. And I really empathize, and I can relate to all the individuals. But there's a big difference in the reaction time. And the man from Oregon who said, oh, well, you know, the poor people and the black people, it's just very relevant. And there were many white people affected. It's not a black or white issue. It was just a people issue. And we truly were cut off from the world for so many days. And a house burns, it burns down, but someone drowning in their attic in 108-degree weather over the course of days is an entirely different situation.
And, of course, we have to remember that there's a couple of orders of magnitude in the difference in the number of people killed, at least thus far, in Southern California and in New Orleans.
Absolutely, and our number still is unconfirmed due to people that simply washed away or were never found.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Julie, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And here's a question for Chris Reynolds from Ted by email. Do you suppose that with California having to deal with earthquakes regularly, they become much more practiced at handling disasters than New Orleans ever would be?
Ted, that is a wonderful question. And, you know, honestly, when I speak about this topic, I actually talk about this. If you are going to have a disaster in the continental United States, the two places that I would pick, and I'm not necessarily saying that anyone's better than the other, but the ones that are best prepared would be California and Florida. And again, I would say that because in Florida we have the hurricane season every year that keeps us on top of our plans and deployments. In California, as Ted indicated, you know, they've got earthquakes, you know, they've got wildfires, you know, they have massive disaster potential there. I mean, they've dealt with those things. One thing I want to talk about, and this is something that we did at American Military University in February in Washington, we had a ripple effects conference at the National Press Club. And at our conference, we had General Honoré as one of our keynote speakers.
The military general, commander who was in charge of the troops in New Orleans.
That is correct.
But got
yes.
there, what, 10 days after Hurricane Katrina?
Yeah.
Okay.
Essentially, it was sometime after the response. But again, and I was also deployed to Katrina. I'm a major in the Air Force Reserve, and I was at Louis Armstrong Airport doing AeroVacs. I was in Belle Chasse doing AeroVacs. So we were also involved in that from that aspect of it. But the one thing that General Honoré said that was extremely important and poignant to me anyway was that it was a community joint involvement to assist the people in the greater New Orleans area, and that no resource would be, you know, not utilized. Now, one can sit back and say that the resources didn't get there until late, but there were also, there's not a lot about this now, honestly, is that there was quite a bit of resources that were pre-staged. For example, Health and Human Services had disaster medical assistance teams staged. The FEMA had urban search and rescue teams staged, ready to move in. But again, they were waiting for the linchpin, the request for help. Mm. What's happened in California is they're not waiting for the request anymore. They're leaning forward. They're actually getting more involved. They're being proactive, which is extremely important okay. when it comes to disaster operations.
Let's get another voice in the conversation. Jasmine Kanick, a journalist and commentator. She's with us on the line from Los Angeles. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you.
And I think one of the things that we seem to be talking around a little bit are issues of race and class at the heart of this, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, here in Los Angeles, I've heard a few, more than a few rumblings about sort of how fast people or the government responded to the wildfires. And, you know, for sake of the conversation, I mean, a disaster is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And by no means, you know, are we trying to say that, you know, we don't think that the people who have lost their homes in the wildfires are any less deserving of government assistance. But at the same time, you know, you kind of do raise an eyebrow when you can see how fast people can get together to get people evacuated and make sure that they have resources and they're able to have assistance. And, you know, one of the things that was really clear that a couple of people pointed out, well, how come they're evacuees and not refugees? And, you know, that's an interesting question. It's
a lesson perhaps learned in Hurricane Katrina.
Maybe, you know, and, you know, here it's been 24 hours around the clock. News, television news has been focusing on the wildfires. Obviously, it's a local story, but, you know, a lot of us remember that in the beginning with Hurricane Katrina, at least here in Los Angeles, you know, they weren't stopping Good Morning America and some of the other national shows to report on Hurricane Katrina. Later on, as it grew bigger and bigger, they did do that, but in the initial beginning, they didn't. So even from the news media perspective.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line, and let's go to Marcy. Marcy's with us from Baton Rouge in Louisiana.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. I grew up in California, lived in Southern California for the last 25 years, and I've moved to Louisiana right before Katrina. I spent a lot of time helping hundreds and hundreds of evacuees in our small town where a lot of people evacuated. And one of the things that struck me, the difference, I could talk about the differences all day, but one of the things that really struck me is I don't think there's a lack of basic people cooperation in this state. And I think that's one of the main things holding them back is that they don't know how to work as a team towards one goal. And I think that's one of the reason sports are so big in Louisiana, because I think it's interesting for Louisianans to see people running in the same direction. And one of the things I think we've experienced just personally and professionally, a lot of frustration trying to get anything done here. I feel like everyone's on banker's hours. Nobody's very goal-oriented. And I really hope that the new governor can solve a lot of these problems and get everyone heading in the same positive direction. And during Katrina, I really wished, when I saw Honore come on the scene, to me, he was a leader, and someone should have put him in charge from the beginning.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Marcy. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking about what's different, what's the same, and why between Southern California's wildfires and the hurricane that hit New Orleans 2 years ago. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we're getting a lot of comments on this level. This from David in Sacramento. I grew up in Los Angeles, moved to New Orleans in 2003. I now live in Sacramento. One thing you haven't mentioned is New Orleans was a dysfunctional and corrupt city before the flood. The city had no viable plan for the flood, even though everybody knew a flood would happen eventually. Tamara in San Antonio. The victims of Katrina had days to evacuate. Many made no effort to leave. We're tired of hearing how everyone failed those folks. People in Southern California at least listened to voluntary evacuation messages and got out of harm's way, mostly on their own. And I wonder what your reaction is to that, Jasmine.
Well, first of all, people continue to rebuild and build here in California in areas where they know that they're prone to fires. So that, you know, to counter the argument of people knew that there were going to be floods. The second thing is not everyone left when they were asked to leave either. That was a big issue with firefighters having to spend time to go back and rescue people who should have left but decided that they wanted to try and stay and protect their house.
Right.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, there are some of us that look at things through the lens of race. A lot of times we happen to be people of color because, you know, things do appear to be different to us. And even for me as an African-American, yes, in my opinion, the response to what's going on here in California has been greater, bigger, and faster than what happened in New Orleans. Is it because of race? Is it because of class? Is it because of the million-dollar homes and the people who are being affected by the wildfires? It could possibly be. These are all things that we need to question and figure out, and I think it's appropriate, especially for African-Americans who were hit so hard by what happened in New Orleans, to question their government about how is it that they can respond so quickly to what's going on now?
Mm-hmm. Let's get another caller in. This is Josh. Josh with us from Naples in Florida.
Yeah, I just had a quick comment, the difference between the response to Katrina and the wildfires in California. I was part of a response team to Katrina. I'm a wildland firefighter, so I have been on many wildfires. I think the biggest difference would be the way that the command teams are set up for wildfire. And then they have been using them for so much longer that everybody knows who's in charge and who to report to. When we arrived at Katrina, there was a lot of confusion, and there continued to be a lot of confusion for a long time. No one was sure who to report to. No one was ever really sure who was in charge. And I think I'll take the response off the air.
Thanks very much for that. And Chris Reynolds, that chain of command question that both you and Karen Breslau were mentioning earlier. But as you also mentioned, these are well-practiced procedures in California where forest fires and wildfires are a way of life.
That's absolutely true, Neil. You know, one thing that I want to talk about that Josh mentioned, and this relates to the command and control element that's critical, is the Division of Forestry, or the National Interagency Fire Center, has actual instant command teams who deploy into a disaster area and set up the entire elements of the instant command system, which includes planning, operations, logistics, administration, support. There are a litany of things that have to happen. And that coordination, that command and control piece, is extremely important. Now, one of the things I want to talk about also is the Federal Response to Hurricane Katrina report that was released by Department of Homeland Security in 2006. Identified four flaws in the response to Katrina, and of those flaws, unified management and command and control were two of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and where we've come to now with respect to California, we've certainly improved in our unified management. In fact, Homeland Security Decision 5 that was just the latest update or new information put out, you know, is this strengthens the resolve that NIMS is a national incident management structure that we all have to follow.
Chris Reynolds, thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil.
Chris Reynolds, professor and program manager for emergency and disaster management for the American Military University in Tampa, where he joined us from member station WUSF. Also, our thanks to Jasmine Kanick, a journalist and commentator with us on the phone from Los Angeles. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we'll be talking about the prospects of an attack on Iran. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. News.